Good evening. Happy Monday. You're listening to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris on WLR. Coming up on tonight's show, a big win for Waterford Camogie at Croke Park, reaction from a sobering night for Waterford FC, a preview of tomorrow evening's racing action in Tramore, and a senior Ireland debut for Ardmore's Tom Ahern. Welcome along. We'll start in Tbilisi. Waterford's Tom Ahern made his senior Ireland debut on Saturday night as he came off the bench in Ireland's 34-5 win against Georgia. Ahern played 18 minutes of the game in the Georgian capital as tries from Tommy O'Brien, Craig Casey and Nick Timoney secured a comfortable victory. Ireland are next in action when they take on Portugal in Lisbon on Saturday. And let's take a listen to some of what the Ardmore man had to say in the build-up to what was a very big week.
I think the kind of overall kind of feeling is excitement. Personally, I'm excited to be up here, and I think likewise with everybody else, a lot of lads getting their kind of first opportunities up here, and there's a great buzz around the place.
Ahern is no stranger to some of the coaches involved with the Ireland setup this time around, which he said definitely helped to settle him in the senior ranks.
Yeah, it helps. Look, a bit of very familiar with two of them, so it's nice having them up here. Also worked with Collie Tucker under 20s and Paulie a few times I was up here, so it's nice to work with those lads again.
Tom also took the time to speak about Ireland captain for the tour and his Munster teammate, scrum half Craig Casey.
Look, he's a fantastic leader on and off the field. There's not a more dedicated man in the squad. Like, all the stuff he does off the field goes unseen to most people, but such a good leader, and he's such a good guy in general, and it's perfect person for this tour because everybody get behind him and he's great energy around the place.
So with an Ireland senior cap now under his belt, what are Tom's ambitions for this summer tour?
Look, just to improve, being up here now, get a few work-ons, continue trying to improve my game, so just keep getting better is the aim up here. Yeah, look, I'm buzzing to be honest. Been unlucky with a couple of injuries, but that's kind of the nature of the game to be fair, so kind of just taking these next couple of weeks in my stride and yeah, overall, just delighted to be up here.
Speaking about those false dawns and having to have resilience, Tom says having a good support system definitely helps.
Yeah, you do. Look, it's happened a couple of times now, and obviously, initially, you're very disappointed, but like I said before, it's kind of the nature of the game. You kind of got to pick yourself back up, and I've had a good support system around me, and kind of move past that eventually, and you kind of focus on the next job and try eventually get back up here again.
The Ardmore man was in scintillating form for Munster, but he wasn't particularly happy with how their season ended.
Yeah, look, it obviously didn't end the way that we wanted to. It was a tough way to go out, but we were playing good rugby, like you said, towards the end of the season, and a lot of the lads that are up here were playing good ball as well. Like, so we can take the confidence from everybody individually playing well. So yeah, hopefully to bring it up here now. Down in Munster, it's a bit different to up here. I think up here, everybody in the pack is kind of in the middle of the field, working together. While back down in Munster, it's usually the two back rows are kind of holding the edges a bit more, so you're playing out wide a bit more. So it's only really different down in Munster. Up here, it's kind of similar enough between second row and back row.
25-year-old was asked about his roots and his family's footing in the game of rugby.
No, nobody played rugby in my family. It was all J, big J family, and just went to kind of a summer camp in the kind of town where my mum's from, and kind of got a love for it there, and just kept playing all the way up through down in Yole, down in Lungarvan, down in Water Park. It was kind of my underage background, and then I moved up to Limerick and into the academy and for Shannon then as well. Yeah, I played hurling football with my local club, Ardmore, till I was about 16. And then once I kind of got into East Munster kind of set up, I kind of had to give it up.
Tom does have experience playing against international teams, namely the All Blacks 15, for whom he played against Munster. And he says that definitely gave him a warm introduction to the standard that he would be facing.
Well, definitely what they brought that day was a lot of physicality. And kind of initially caught us off a bit guard, and look, we didn't perform how we wanted on that day, but I'd say the big takeaway was the physicality aspect. Yeah, 100%. Sure. Look, they were quality players. We played that day and we kind of had to front up. And like I said, the physicality aspect and kind of the speed of ball was a serious pace as well. So I'd imagine it'll be similar enough now in the next couple of games. Like both teams will bring massive physicality and there'll be an increase in tempo.
He was asked about working with Munster and Ireland coach Mike Prendergast.
Yeah, look, Mike's a class coach and I think he's done very well since he's been up here. Same with Liam, same with Collie. I think they've all been fantastic. I think they're all kind of just finding their bearings as well. At the same time, it's a new environment for all of them, but I think they've done an exceptional job so far.
So has Paul O'Connell given particular focus to Tom?
I think it's more of a overall hands-on thing. He's working with all the forwards massively with the line-outs. So just in that aspect, he's helping all of us, not just me individually, but front rows, second rows and back rows in terms of line-out and all. Anytime you get called up to this group is special. Like, it's a fantastic, exceptional group. Like, and yeah, look, I was buzzing when I got called up during the Six Nations. Even though it was just a week, I was delighted to be up here just working with the class coaches, class players, and definitely give me a bit of confidence to push on the rest of the season, hopefully end up back here.
Very best of luck to Tom for the weeks ahead, and we'll be back after the break to reflect on a big win for Waterford Camogie at Croke Park. Welcome back. A big win for Waterford Camogie at Croke Park on Saturday as they beat Clare 220-210 in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Niamh Rockett fired 111 while Annie Fitzgerald scored a crucial goal on the cusp of half-time after Áine O'Loughlin had twice found the net for the banner. After the match, Tomás McCarthy spoke to manager Mick Boland and Waterford defender Orla Hickey.
Mick, how would you sum up that Waterford performance today?
In fairness, no, they dug it out is the best way to say it. There was patch of it scrappy and some of it was very good. Like, we created a couple of goal chances in the early part of the game, probably missed the penalty, and then all of a sudden conceded a goal and probably conceded a second goal with two high balls into the square. Probably got the goal just before half time, but probably deserved that bit of luck for what was after happening before that. And the second half was probably a bit more controlled. We just controlled the ball and just kept the scoreboard ticking over.
Would that performance suffice in a semi-final, Mick?
No, not at all. Let's be honest, that with no semi-final. Like, the performance has to go up a lot higher than that, you know. And sometimes you go to Croke Park like this and you come the first day up here, and maybe the quarter-final was a good route to take because it gave us that opportunity to play up here, give the girls a small bit more confidence. But in fairness to Clare, they probably played very, very well as well today. Probably that was one of the best performances of the year, I'd say.
What was said at half-time, that Annie Fitzgerald goal was a crucial moment, wasn't it, in injury time?
Yeah, and his goal was very important just before. It probably came at the right time. We were probably 10 points to 8 down, then we got back into it. We were 11, and the goal as well, make it 1-11-11. But in saying that, there was an awful lot of harsh words. They said to themselves, Tomás, they don't need... These girls are... They set high standards. They know the performance wasn't where it should have been. And look, hopefully the next 2 to 3 weeks, that'll come together, you know.
What did you make of the performance of Vicky Faulkner today at cornerback? Make her first game back here in Croke Park after suffering that cruciate knee ligament injury against Cork here 2 years ago.
Absolutely outstanding. Every ball, she was an early first touch. She had your one. And let's be honest, the girl, the Begleys, had been outstanding for Clare all year, if you look at her. And I thought Vicky was absolutely outstanding. You know the simple thing? Come out with the ball, went 10 to 20 yards, offload the pass and back to do her job, which is the girl she was marking, you know.
Well, we need to work on ahead of the next day.
There's an awful lot to Tomás. Like, a lot of our patterns that we've been working very hard on over the last couple of weeks, we're going to have to work very hard because the last two games now we've came up against two teams that are playing a plus one and we're finding it difficult to break them down at times. You know, we're probably creating some goal chances, but we find it difficult when they put a lot of bodies around the middle. They seem to turn over a bit of ball, you know, when they put a lot of bodies in that area. We're going to probably just have to work a lot harder trying to create space in that area, you know.
Yeah, some of it really, because some of it was millimetres, Mick, wasn't it, or inches, you know, where the accuracy of the pass just wasn't right. It was left or a little far ahead. That you're actually not miles away and you still won by 10 points, you know.
No, I don't think we're miles away. I really don't think we're miles away. I think we're a lot closer than we think. I think it's probably just to fine-tune the small little things. If you go back to the first half, I was just saying the 2 or 3 goal chances. That ball hit, it was 3 goals in the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you know. So, like, they're small things, you know. And, look, we'll work, as I said, they're very fine margins. And you'd say the same thing for Clare, very fine margins, you know what I mean? Ball breaks here, ball breaks there, you know.
You're in the semi-final, though.
Yeah, look, that's the good side of it, and that we set out at the start of the year to get out of the group. We got out of the group, it didn't matter where we got, and look, we probably took the scenic route around this time, going through the quarter final. But you know what, there's four teams left there now, and after tomorrow's match, and there are four quality teams, and if I'm saying anything more than anything else, is that like every time you go out or every performance you put in, sometimes you have to grind the result out, and that was one of those results, is that we grinded out, that we actually kept the scoreboard ticking over when there was no score for maybe 3 to 6 minutes, all of a sudden then scoreboard ticking over, and then we got the next score. Every time they went down, we seemed to go up and get a score or two, and just, you know, the goal in the second half, and if it's, you know, as well, the goal, very good.
But that's even when they got the goals, you did that. Even in the first half when you were maybe spluttering, you still came back and got the point or two. And as you said, that was probably crucial. As management, sure, don't you love that, to win a game and have improvement in the tank?
But you see, you can have plenty in the tank. It's about bringing it out. That's the other side of it. It doesn't matter what you have in the tank. If your performance doesn't come on the field, if you don't bring it to feed, you don't win matches. And it's simple as that. But the big thing I will say, they were very hard to play against today, because they committed so many bodies around that area. We found it very hard to play against them. And it's something we really need to work on over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Because any team that's going to play, you know, are going to filter players back to feed. They're half forwards, they're going to back, and they're going to squeeze up the line. We're just going to have to find a way of how we work that ball through hand and create them little triangles of space to get the scores, you know.
Quite a performance from Niamh Rocket again. I know you're saying during the week, Mick, that she missed a couple of frees against Galway, but she made amends for that today, didn't she?
Ah, without a doubt. Look, tomorrow she can put Niamh Rocket down 1 week and she's back the next week, and fairness to her. Niamh rang me Sunday morning, and like straight away we had a great chat about it. And look, she came back today, and fairness, she put her hand up. You know what I mean? But I can't fault them. But I have to give credit to the whole management team too, because Niall and Tom and Dean and Catherine and the whole lot, the work that they're putting in is unbelievable. Like, trying to get into these girls' heads and make them right every single week is unbelievable. We're trying to improve them as players, and I just think the management of the whole have been absolutely super. Even Jack has Brianna in a great place in the goalie coaching, you know what I mean?
Here with Waterford defender Orla Hickey. Orla, how much of a battle was that out there in Croke Park today?
Yeah, we certainly made it hard for ourselves, I can tell you, Tomás. We knew it was going to be hard, but we certainly made it hard for ourselves, yeah.
Do you think there's more in the tank for the All-Ireland semi-final in 3 weeks?
Yeah, definitely. Look, we'll have to go back to the drawing board now on Tuesday when we go back training and just start from scratch again, you know. Don't know who we're playing yet, but no matter who it is, it's going to be a tough game again.
What was said in the dressing room at half-time?
Look, it's about belief as well, you know. You don't get here by the look of the draw, but it's about belief. We believed in ourselves. We knew we didn't start off great, and we didn't get going, really, essentially. We didn't play to our game, to our advantage. So it's just do the things that we can do right and just keep playing and work hard. Work great is going to get us through it.
How important was that goal from Annie Fitzgerald right in the stroke at halftime?
Oh, it was super. It was definitely needed, I can tell you. Going in at half time, it would have been a draw going in, I think, was it, at half time if we didn't get that goal. So it was super important, yeah.
How delighted are you to see Vicky Faulkner behind you in that sort of form? Like, this is her first game in Croke Park since she did her cruciate here 2 years ago.
Oh, look, Vicky's a superstar, I can tell you. It's absolutely great. I was on the pitch with her the last day in Croke Park, and it's brilliant to see someone of her calibre get back playing, because she's absolutely a superstar, as I said. It's brilliant.
Yeah. How much of an inspiration is she every night in training?
Oh, Vicky works hard, you know. She really, really works hard in training. Even when she's on her cruise, she had to get back to where she is now. She's starting again in Croke Park for a quarter final. It's absolutely amazing. So yeah, she's real inspirational, I can tell you.
And Niamh Rocket stepped up yet again.
Oh, Rocket, yeah, she needed to. No, she didn't. She's a rock is top class. She works hard, and she's a phenomenal player.
How much confidence will it give you now as a group to get this win in Croke Park under your belt?
Yeah, I think it was a monkey on our back for a while. You know, we played in Croke Park a few times and we lost, so it's great that monkey's off our back now. But as I said, we go back to the training ground Tuesday and focus on what we need to do for the next couple of weeks to the semi-final.
Yeah, what will you need to work on now over the next 3 weeks, Orla?
Look, I think there's a few things there today that we just didn't get right. I think at times there was just a little bit miscommunication, or look, the ball, whatever, you can say what you want, but it just sometimes it just didn't go right. And I think we will get it right. It just takes time, but we'll go back to the drawing board now and we'll get to it.
Did all your family and friends get sorted for tickets? Because I know there was a bit of a scramble on there during the week.
Yeah, look, no, they didn't. And it's so disappointing, you know. It was just my parents that came up. Some of my friends got tickets, all right, but some of my siblings, my brothers and sisters, they're very, very disappointed. And my nieces and nephews, so... It's bitterly disappointing.
Yes, only your parents got tickets amongst your family today, Orla. That must be disappointing.
No, it is, because my parents or my family come to everything. You know, they travel to Galway, they travel to Antrim. They're with me in this journey as well. You know, it's not just me. It's a family day out.
Yeah, I'm sure they're bitterly disappointed to miss out on seeing you playing and winning in Croke Park as well.
Absolutely. Anytime you come to Croke Park is a big day, you know, and especially now we won, it's a great feeling. So, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing in that way. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Tomás, and very well done to all involved. Cork next in the semi-final at Nolan Park on Saturday, July 26th. And Galway versus Tipperary in the other last four clash after Tipperary prevailed in what was a thriller against Kilkenny after extra time yesterday. Brilliant penalty save from Laura Lennon before Caoimhe McIntyre's goal proved crucial. And of course, it'll be Cork versus Tip in the All-Ireland Hurling Final. We'll have plenty of build-up next Monday ahead of that one. After the break, we'll be turning our attentions to the Tramore races. Now, seven race evening flat card underway from 5:20 tomorrow at Tramore on Tuesday, July 8th. And joining me to run through the card is WR's racing correspondent, Mark Phillips. Mark, a good card by the looks of it.
Yeah, plenty of local runners as well, which is great. I think I counted 6 Waterford trainers with runners during the evening. And it's great to see all the top jockeys coming down. Like, you have the likes of Shamie Heffernan, Lee Roach, Dylan Brown, Mac Monaghan, Colin Keane, Shane Foley and Chris A. It's all taking mounts there. So, you know, it's a nice, tidy little meeting is the way I suppose I could put it.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the summer evening cards are nice as well, especially if you get the nice weather. It normally draws a good crowd as well, because a lot of people will finish work by the time that the first goes off. A couple of people might come in late as well. So hopefully a good crowd gets out to support it. We'll just run through the card quickly to begin with. So action starts with a 1 mile, 4 furlong race. And that's a claiming race at 5:20. There are 7 runners in that one. Pat Flynn has one in this, Serotonin.
Yeah, I suppose for a claiming race, Jordan, we should explain that the way the weights are formed, as far as I know, is you can put a horse in, we'd say, for €15,000. So he will have a kind of a top weight to be claimed, and you could put another horse, a value in of 5,000, and you'd probably be bottom weight in it. Mm. So I suppose if you win the race, great, but you mightn't get the 15,000 for your horse. You know what I mean? That's the way that works. It looks very open to me. I went down through the list of runners. I couldn't put my finger on anything. I think Dennis Hogan has a couple of runners in it. His horse are running well of late. Joey Sheridan takes the mount in one of his, and I think Shamie Heffernan on the other one. It's a dynamite race, those claiming races. I often steer clear of them, Jordan.
Absolutely. Magnetic North for Peter Fahey, probably one of the favourites for that one.
Yeah, but he's getting on now, isn't he? Is he up around the 9 or 10 year old mark?
He is indeed, yeah. He's actually 10 years old, so yeah. I mean, that'll tell you. It's a race that's a bit of
a he could win, and probably nobody would claim him because of his age, and he'd go back to the trainer and everybody'd be happy.
Yeah, that looks like a likely outcome for that one as well. Followed by a maiden, 1 mile, 4 furlongs at 10-6. And very interesting contender here in the form of Paddy Toomey's Sholin, ridden of course by Colin Keane.
Yeah, Sholin, she won the bumper at she won a listed bumper at Cheltenham, not at the main meeting but at the November meeting. She then went on and she won the bumper at the Aintree Festival, the Grand National Festival, and then she was second, I think, to Carrigmore and Spruce at Punchestown. So her form is really rock solid. Now, she's disappointed in a couple of races since on the flat, but I suppose Paddy Toomey, he'd love to win a race on the flat because it would add to her pedigree value when she'd go to stud. Billy Lee would normally ride all Paddy Toomey's horses, but Billy Lee is currently suspended. He's serving his Royal Ascot suspension. And Colin Keane has been booked. I think it's the only ride during the evening for Colin Keane. Like, if she produces any of that form, she should be there or thereabouts. She's probably she can be a little bit keen too in her races. That's the problem. But I'm sure Colin Likert would be well able to anchor, and maybe she'd go off to the front. Maybe she'd skip around the bends out in Tramore and lead all the way. But she's probably the class horse on view during the whole 7 race card.
Absolutely. Just in terms of contenders, they'd probably be looking at Jeannie Macaroni for Joseph O'Brien. She's hit the crossbar in, I think it's her last 4 or 5 races in a row, finished second. So if you're looking to get the maiden tag shed there.
Yeah, very, very consistent, and could perhaps possibly provide the main danger to Sholin.
Absolutely. We move on to 20 past 6. We have another 1 mile, 4 furlongs. This time it's a Phillies handicap. We have 7 in the field as well. And again, kind of hard. You could nearly throw a blanket over it.
You could. I went through the card and, like, what I usually do is I mark out, maybe narrow it each race down maybe to two or three horses. But I struggled. I was putting a lot of horses down with chances in a lot of the races there tomorrow night. Anything, I think Pat O'Leary has a couple of runners or during the evening, and he's a guy who does well in Tramore. He's very selective in the horses he runs there, so maybe keep an eye on his one.
Absolutely. Star Mind finished second in last of the two races there, running with Shane Foley on board for Gerard O'Leary. But again, hard to call for that one as well. Maybe it might be one for the punters to stay a bit clear of. At 10 to 7 then, we have a 1 mile, 4 furlong affair. Again, it is the Racing TV handicap, and we've got Aitkenfield for that one. Yeah. And we've got local representation.
We have. Again, it's very, very open. You could make a case for a lot of the horses. What you're probably going to find tomorrow, Jordan, is you're going to find flat horses that are not probably capable of winning over a mile. They don't have the pace to win over a mile. So the trainers are stepping them up in trip in the hope that they can collect. Mm. And you have a mix then of National Hunt horses as well, whose trainers think, well, he sort of might have the pace to win over a mile and a half or 2 miles on the flat. Let's give them a chance. So you've got a mix of the two coming together. And it's not that easy to separate the form in that regard.
No, it's definitely not. Just looking at Hawkesbury Legend, the winner last time out for Declan Queeley. But the jockey booking for this one has particularly caught my eye. A name I haven't seen before, Pietro Paolo is
the
jockey.
I've been watching him. He's an apprentice. He does quite well. He's a good value for his £7. I think he's very Irish, actually, when he's interviewed. He's got a foreign name. And Declan Queeley, I don't think that won actually for Declan last time out. It may have won in the UK, and I think the lads may have purchased it, and it's probably its first or second outing for Declan, so that'll be interesting to see.
It definitely will be interesting to see. Of course, as I mentioned, there are 8 in the field for that one. Then at, we have another 1 mile, 4 furlong affair. It's the Tote Tramore Derby Handicap. That's at 7:20, and there's a big field attractive for that one. There's 15 in the field.
And the reason there's probably 15 is because the race has a total price fund of €20,000, which is excellent.
Brilliant.
For Tramore on a Tuesday night in the middle of the summer. Plenty in with chances there. I thought an interesting would be one for Henry de Bromhead, a horse called Step Dance. Has mediocre form as such. Again, I think possibly came from the UK, had a nice bit of form over there. So it'll be interesting to see how Henry has that one tomorrow night. Probably maybe a bit of each way value. Hopefully the Tote may pay 4 places on it as such. But that would be an interesting one. Keep an eye on Henry's one there, Step Dance.
Absolutely. Yeah. A couple of local runners again in the field. But yeah, there's definitely, it's going to be hard to pinpoint exact winners. There's no real standouts in any of the races. And even looking at the 2 mile affair at 10 to 8, you could probably say the same. Again, we've got 9 in the field for it. And that is the Tote Handicap over 2 miles.
Yeah, and I suppose there's plenty of local runners in that as well.
There is. We've also Charming for Declan Queeley in particular, catching the eye. We have McCalla drop the anchor. It's definitely a hard one to call.
It is. As the evening goes by, the winners are not going to be any easier to come by. And I wouldn't like to be waiting on the lucky last then, Jordan, trying to pick the winner of that either.
No, 20 past 8 by the time. I mean, if you were still standing in Tramore and you were out for the day and you hadn't had a winner by 20 past 8. But again, another 2 mile affair. It's a handicap for 0 to 60 rated, and there's 8 in the field. And again, yeah, it's just difficult to call. Pat Flynn has one in the field, Duke Otto.
Yeah, and that's a previous course winner over hurdles, Duke Otto. So that might be an angle to keep an eye on tomorrow night as well. Any horses with course form, it usually comes to the fore in races like that. Pat is having a good season. It's probably one of his better flat seasons compared to the last number of years, and he'd love to win at his local track. And as I say, that horse has won at the venue before.
Definitely. I just think it's important to say to people as well, I know obviously the main thing, it shapes towards the August Festival as well, but you know, when there are cards on a local basis as well, it's just very important to get out and support them if you can.
That's true. With just 2 flat meetings per year in Tramore, and certainly tomorrow, it offers plenty of betting opportunities, but whether the betting opportunities will come to fruition, that's the thing, because I feel an awful lot of the races are wide open. I just think Sholin is probably the class horse on view, and if she puts her best foot forward, she should run well. And the fact that he's going to the bother of bringing down Colin Keane for only one ride. Colin now might be in the best of form coming down tomorrow night, because I think he could be facing a suspension tomorrow by the BHA over a ride there over the weekend. I think he overused the whip by one or two on the count, and he could be suspended. So I'm sure he'd be keen to ride a winner before he has to start out his suspension.
Absolutely. But I mean, just from a spectator's point of view as well, it's great to actually have competitive races, because I mean, we see a thousand times, unfortunately, in the Irish racing calendar, that you look at a race and you'll see 1-6, 1-7 favourites, yeah. And you know, it's kind of can be a bit of a procession. I mean, I think it's brilliant that Top Yards obviously support courses like Tramore, but when you see a couple of smaller yards coming down and they all are in with a squeak tomorrow, I think that makes it a far more interesting
affair. It certainly does. No Aidan O'Brien train runners tomorrow night. So as you say, we're not going to be looking at 4-6 and 1-3 shots winning, ridden by Ryan Moore. So it affords, I suppose, a lot of the smaller, as you say, trainers an opportunity to win races at the venue. Jessica Harrington, having said that, has a runner there as well. So, like, it's a mix of trainers as such, but very competitive.
Absolutely. Tramore races underway from 5:20 tomorrow. 7 race card, as I mentioned. The first off, 5:20. Get out and support your local racetrack. Mark Phillips, thanks a million.
Thanks, Jordan.
Welcome back. Now, for the final part this week, we reflect on a sobering defeat for Waterford FC. It finished 7-2 to Derry City at the Brandywell on Friday night. And Ray Scott was there for WLR Sport.
Derry only had to wait for 5 minutes for the opening goal when Mark Connolly swept the ball out to the right wing where Ronan Boyce was waiting. He slipped it to Gavin White, who then squared it to Liam Boyce, who slotted to the net. They were 2-2 on 24 minutes when Boyce grabbed his second after meeting another ball following a great one down the left from Duffy. And 12 minutes later, Saudo Diallo made it 3 when he thundered home a shot off the underside of the crossbar from 25 yards. Duffy then turned provider for Mark Connolly, who met his corner with a glancing header that nestled in the net. Waterford were given some hope after the restart when Padraig Ammon pounced on a rare Derry mistake, but the 4-goal cushion was restored by Duffy 3 minutes later. Boyce completed his hat-trick on 57 minutes when he touched home another Duffy cross at the near post, and Gavin White completed the rout 16 minutes from time when he curled a lovely effort inside the upright. Ammon grabbed his second of the night on 79 minutes when he latched onto a quick throw-in from Conan Noonan, but it was mere consolation. Final score, Derry City 7, Waterford FC 2. John, I think you just met a Derry side tonight that were just purring.
They were very good tonight, and I don't want to take anything away from them. And, you know, you get to games when you're 4-0 down at half time, the other team takes the foot off the gas. They didn't. They smelled blood, they were like rabid dogs, and they went all over us. Fair play to them. But, you know, firstly, I've got to apologise to the fans. It's a long, long trip, I know, because we've done it. To come here, they were brilliant all night, stayed with us. You know, most of them clapped us off at the end. I would be absolutely livid if I was a Waterford fan. Not a nice say, will appease them, so I'm not going to try and appease them. You know what? You've got to, sometimes you've got to carry the can. You've got to face the music. And you've got to take the rough with the smooth. And, you know, tonight was very, very rough for us. We got the basics all wrong. We didn't compete well enough. We didn't run hard enough. We didn't pass the ball hard enough. And ultimately, that cost us the game. Ironically, we started the game, I thought, all right. You know, they punted a few balls into our half and we looked comfortable on the ball. And then as soon as they scored the first goal, we absolutely went into our shell and folded. And that's not like any one of the teams I've had. But it has happened to me 3 or 4 times in my career. And I know how important it is to try and bounce back. We were doing our very best to do that. You know, the honeymoon period probably over now with the fans for me. And also, you know, the honeymoon period with how well the players have done for us. You know, we might have to look at bringing other players in, and that might have to be accelerated. And it might have to be more, you know, because we maybe got a little bit carried away with the way we started. Myself and Danny, when we come, played some really good football, control football, kept teams at arm's length. Tonight we didn't. And now, you know, I'm not going to make excuses because there is no excuse. You know, they used the win really well in both halves. We didn't. You know, we scored 2 goals and, you know, 2 good goals. And we had a couple of other chances that we didn't take. But they were ruthless. They were very, very good. And, you know, they have got good players. They've got good League of Ireland players, Ireland internationals. And, you know, if you spend the money that they've spent, you know, you'd expect them to be a good side. But it's easy to say that, but then going out and doing it. So all credit to Tina for getting the team up the way they did and how well they played, because they did play well. You know, I'm not going to detract from how well they played, but we didn't help ourselves tonight. We were very, very poor. And we have to look at ourselves in the mirror first. You know, maybe I should have changed things a bit earlier. You know, the second goal, you know, we've sort of steadied the ship after going one down so early. We've steadied the ship. Lynx goes down injured. We have a chat with them. Then we kick it to where Lynx is standing so he can't go back on the pitch, and they score against Tenman. And we've in the process of that, we lost a couple of tackles. We lost more or less every tackle we competed for tonight. And four or five of them resulted in goals. So it's very bitterly disappointed, but I'm not going to try and pacify our fans with words. I'm not going to try and talk my way out of it or wham my way out of it. I've got to face the music. Tonight was nowhere near good enough and totally unacceptable for our fans who are brilliant and who've travelled all this way. And all I can do is apologise.
You made a change, obviously, between the posts, but it was a very tough night for Brad.
Well, it is, because you know you can't really label any of the goals at them. But that's sod's law for them, you know, and that's it can be cruel football. The one thing that you know is the players haven't gone out deliberately to play badly. They haven't gone out to let themselves down, but they have let themselves down tonight. And
I think you saw that as they were all kind of, you know, heading out to the bus here. You see that they were not happy, and that, you know, they're looking at themselves as well.
Well, you know, they've let themselves down, and we're all big boys. We're not going to shy away from it. You know, there'll be a lot of soul searching this week. We'll have to study that game, and we'll have to study that in depth. So that might be a 3 or 4 hour video session, but that's what you got to do. I have bounced back from these situations before, and I'm determined to do it again.
Can you look at a couple of positives? You know, you mentioned the two goals. You know, Podge, difficult circumstances for him this week. Yet he turned up here. He performed. He got two goals. He's now joined top scorer in the league. So you have to take those positives. And I think further, the team continued to battle right to the final whistle.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we looked as though we'd thrown a towel in the first half, which was disappointing for me. Terrible goals to concede. We did go to the end. I mean, we've got some good young lads on. You know, so we give them some minutes. We got some minutes into today as well. But, you know, Podge has had a difficult week. You know, the preparation wasn't ideal, but you could hide behind that excuse. No excuse. You know, give Podge his due, you know. That's the testament to how he is as a person, how much he cares about Waterford Football Club, that he's gone through this personal trauma, and he's got, you know, he's been able to play the game, and, you know, he was probably our best player on the night. And I thank him for that, you know, and he is a good captain, and he was no one more disappointed with him, and he was no one more vocal at half-time than him. You know, but I had to go in at half-time. It would be easy for me to come in and rant and rave. After the game, I didn't do that. You know, I was calm, and we'll study it at length. I might get a bit angry on Monday when I watch the video back, and there might be a few harsh words said then. But you've got to try and not let your emotion run away with you, and you've got to try and be constructive in what you do, and that's what we'll try and do this week.
And of course, you've got to face Cork on Friday night. So that is kind of a lot of focus now going to come on that game.
It's going to be a massive game, and it's how we respond. I know what way I want to respond, but we have to look at ourselves first. You know, I'm not going to just throw the players under the bus. You know, we've got to ask ourselves: did we pick the right team? Did we prepare them right? Did our game plan work? Well, it certainly didn't. Did we react quick enough to situations as a coaching team? So we've got to question ourselves before we question anybody else. But the big disappointment for me is how far the fans have come, and how they will go on feeling as humiliated as what we feel. And yeah, it's not their fault. And that's the sickening thing for me.
Thanks, Ray. Crucial week ahead for the Blues as they take on Cork City at the RSC in a Munster derby on Friday night. And that's all we've time for this week. Plenty of sport coming up this week on WLR with the return of the Club Hurling Championship. Best of luck to Dungarvan United and Benfica facing off in the Women's Munster Junior Cup final on Saturday at the RSC. We'll have updates throughout. And John O'Shea is on the way with some great music. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday.